listening to Pro Booth Talk, photo booth insight, tips, and banter recorded by boothers for boothers. Brought to you by ProBoothTalk.com.
Welcome to Pro Booth Talk. We've got a special guest joining us today, James. If nobody knows James, I want to pass the mic to him real quick, let him introduce himself.
Oh, here, let me grab the mic. Hi!
Do a little gig on that. Hi guys, my name is James Trivelis. I am owner, founder, CuratorLive.com. Been in the business for a very long time, experiential specifically, been in that specific side of the business for a little over 25 years, and was introduced to photo marketing literally when I got into the industry. Do everything from, I've been on almost all sides of the coin, from the actual activation side of things, to working with the agencies, marketing, advertising, PR, figuring out exactly what their goals are, KPIs, et cetera, all the way down to the opposite end of the spectrum, building a 360 photo booth with, you know, 50 plus cameras and doing it for Nike and, you know, capturing people, processing those videos. But yeah, I guess you could call me an old timer, I guess, at this point. I have gray hair and I started when it was brown. So yeah.
Well, was it brown? I feel like you've had awesome. The silver hair your entire life.
That's what people know me for. That and the orange shoes. Yes.
I haven't seen the orange shoes, but that's, I didn't know you came from both sides. That's really interesting, James.
I did. I actually, you know, it was interesting. People always ask, how do I get into the industry? And I don't know if I should get into that, but I was literally skydiving up in Tampa, Florida. And I took a year off of life, just enjoying my life. And I was there and I had walked into a pizzeria and there were two girls there. Again, going back about 20 some odd plus years ago, they had careerbuilder.com shirts on. And they asked me, or I walked up to them and said, hey, I need a job. You know, can you help me get a job? And they looked at me like, who are you? You know, what are you doing here? Why are you asking me this question? I'm like, well, your shirt says careerbuilder.com. Can you help me? So they laughed. I'm not kidding you. 48 hours later, I was on tour for careerbuilder.com, working for the marketing agency, around the country. So I had no idea what experiential was, had no idea what guerrilla was. And this is, again, I was a kid, but I learned very quickly this was, you know, experiential marketing. So from there, 3 months later, I literally moved to San Francisco because my background was actually retail. So upper management. I actually helped H&M come to the United States. I actually lived in Sweden for 6 months, helped them build their management training program, brought that here to the States. So I'm upper management, large scale management of 200, 300, 400, 500 employees at any given time. And took that knowledge, brought it to the marketing agency, and we started doing deals with Wells Fargo, Second Life. I don't know if you know who they are, many, many years ago, and a lot of other brands. So, and each one of those had some sort of photo marketing activation, roaming photography, actually. Let me speak about that. Roaming photography was literally one of the first things I did. That was with picture marketing back in the day. They had a little camera, had a little barcode scanner on it, had a little card. You scan the card, you take the picture, and you tell the person, go to this website, enter in your code. Not only will you be entered in for a prize, but you will also receive your photo. And that was my introduction into photo marketing per se. And then from there, I've worked for staffing agencies within the industry. I've done things with Nike. We've done some large activations, large scale, especially for their skateboard. Now, mind you, everything I'm talking about is my past. Future or what I'm doing now, obviously I realized during that entire time that there had to be a better way. And that's what led me to where I am today, which is obviously Curator and the software. So yeah.
Perfect. That's great. And you mentioned roaming photography, and that's kind of what we're doing here today. We want to hit that topic a little bit, which is a great learning experience for me because we actually don't offer any roaming photographer. We are exclusive to photo booths. And on our first podcast together, Lap and I were kind of talking about PBX and roaming photography, and Curator came up because she didn't realize that you do something similar to what Spot My Photo is doing, which is basically branding roaming photography. So when we hit this topic, we had to have you on so you could kind of elaborate on what Curator is doing, make sure everyone knows that you're in that market now, because it's pretty new to you, right?
It is. It is. Well, actually, a lot of, so the roaming side, actually, people, I think, many customers currently, and within the past, I'd say 2 years, have bastardized the process of trying to figure out how to do roaming photography with a photo booth application. And, you know, at the time, I think Spot My Photo and Darkroom Core basically was out there, but Darkroom's less of a roaming aspect of it. That's more stationary studio type of situations. But, you know, there wasn't many people, but people wanted to use, be able to connect a DSLR to a device, take pictures, not a picture, but take pictures, photos, and do something to them, and then be able to simply deliver them to your guests, whether that be SMS, text, email, QR code, obviously having a branded microsite, branded email, branded text messaging and all that. And a lot of our customers kept on asking us for that. And, you know, I think over the past 2 years, we realized, well, we had to do that. And we did. Hence, what a lot of our customers are doing now, which is considered photography mode. And it's literally exactly that. Because if you hand a camera to a photographer, you do not want to limit them. They get upset when you have to tell them that you can only take one picture at a time. They want to click, 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 and then they want to share, make it simple. And that's what we did. And we also realized that there's not many people in that space. There's also some issues with the current flows that some of the softwares out there currently have. And we also realized as well that we have this photo booth platform, as well as application that does everything from background removal, digital props, all that fun jazz that can now be used in photography. Whereas a lot of the other applications out there don't have that. They don't have the ability to quickly share or send it to a printer locally without internet. Whereas we have all that. So all we did was just change the focus and say, hey, let's connect the camera. Click, 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 a few other things, facial recognition, et cetera. We can group that all together and basically offer a lot of the softwares, which so far feedback has been great.
One of the things that's most intriguing to me, because most of those things that you mentioned, my rebuttal would just be like, well, that's a photo booth. What's the benefit? And you just mentioned the facial recognition. And I think that was one of the biggest things that I was interested in the ability to take a photo once, enter your phone number, and then anytime your photo's taken the rest of the night, even if you're just in the background or a large group, that's going to grab that by your face and throw it into that gallery that you've created, so that I'm always getting all those photos and I don't have to constantly enter my phone number. And sometimes I don't even know I'm in a photo because I'm in the background and that's captured and it's still coming to my gallery. And I think that that's one of the, if that's probably the biggest selling point for me in that roaming photographer aspect that separates it from a photo booth.
I was gonna say
I haven't explored Curator for some years. I know I explored it when it first came out, what, 6 years ago? So you guys have advanced eight years ago. It sounds like it's advanced a lot since then. I haven't revisited. When Jason told me it had facial recognition, I was really shocked, and you know, that's really exciting news. But maybe you can just kind of catch me up with Curator. Sure. So it is still running. It runs off of iPad. Does it also run off of iPhone?
Absolutely. Yes. And, you know, not to make this or turn this into sales or anything like that, but in reality, it's a iOS platform, it's a platform on the website that allows you to manage your events, create your events, build your events, and then activate them using any iOS type of product. So as of right now, it's iPhone or iPad. We will be adding a Mac computer that is in the works currently, and that should be out hopefully by the end of the year. But it could simply be used on an iPhone or an iPad.
And then the DSLR, is it connecting hardline, wireless? You have different options for connectivity between the two.
How would you like to connect it?
I'm just curious how it connects. I haven't explored it. I'm wondering what limitations and pros and cons there are to it.
Sure. So we do have a list of cameras that do and don't work, obviously, or do work on the website within our knowledge base. In terms of how it connects, it can currently connect via USB directly to the iPhone or iPad or Lightning connector in some of the older devices. We do also have wireless directly to the device. So that can absolutely work that way. Don't recommend it. For a lot of reasons, obviously we're all event professionals here. It is what it is. I mean, it works, but it only works until it doesn't work. And you're going to pray that you had a wired connection. That's the reality of it.
That's really exciting that you don't have to push. And one of the biggest challenges that I've seen with the software when we're roaming is it sounds so minor, but such a major deal. What you're saying, which is snappy, snappy, snappy. It sounds like it's not a big deal. But when you're roaming, the last thing you want to do is push start on your on your iPad or your iPhone. So that's really great that you have that service, that functionality for that.
One of the things I'm hearing from a lot of our customers that what they're liking is they're liking the fact that they can actually have somebody pre-register. So aside from tagging them, forget about that moment for a moment, but basically being able to just take pictures and then have them go to a website, have a QR code, scan it. They scan their face on their phone and it pulls up every single photo that they have. There is a big benefit for that because it doesn't restrict the photographer from being who they are. Obviously, you can do the tagging, you can text it, you can email it. We also built in a lot of functionality on the back end. I mean, a lot of things being able to create collections. So for example, like Santa photos, being able to take pictures, like family pictures, having them upload and then sending a collection, basically a group of photos specifically to that person. And it doesn't have to be just one person's face. It could be, you know, you're selecting them on the website, sending them a personalized gallery. And the reason why we did that is because we listened to a lot of the photographers that were out there and what they wanted.
Yeah. It's automatically sending, or you're selecting the group of faces to send them?
It's up to you. You could do it either way. So we built in a lot of other functionality to allow you to do it either way. So you can either tag them, you can send them to a web page, you can literally have them walk over to a computer, a kiosk, scan their face, and it'll pull everything up. Or like I said, you can have them pre-register as well.
So you mentioned pre-registering, but it sounds like you could also like post-register. If you go up to a kiosk and scan your face, it sounds like you can get a collection of photos that you had already taken as well.
That is correct. Wow. Yeah. So think of it this way. A current use case of that, there is a location that has several photo activations taking place throughout their venue. What they have the person do is they go through, they take their pictures, they don't take any data. And then at the end, they scan a QR code, scan their face, it pulls up every single photo, but they're also collecting data on the back end. So at that point, the guest is getting all their photos. The user is getting all their data that they want, first name, last name, email. Now, obviously, once somebody downloads a photo, they could share it, you know, to whoever they want. But that's really the goal. I mean, that's the idea.
So we have embedded. I know you're talking about data. Do you have embedded surveys for like custom info that your client might want to collect from?
Yeah. So one of the pieces. So let me be clear. Survey mode inside of the application, which is what most of the photo booth companies out there are currently doing. You know, they'll take you through the flow. You either do it before you send the photo, take the photo, or after you take the photo. One of the things that most of them aren't doing that we are building and we will have, right now I have it as a proof of concept for one of our clients, or two of the clients actually, is the ability to build a form before they visit or when they visit the actual microsite. So think of it this way. I send you a text message. You click on that link. The website comes up. Now it says, hey, to see your photos, enter your first name, last name, email address, check us off, age verification, etc. And after they enter that information, now you're collecting that on the website. So you're not slowing down the photo experience, which if we go back to roaming photography, limiting the photographer, you don't want to do that. You want to speed up that process because honestly, the event's all about getting as many photos as you can and then collecting the data. Most people now try to collect the data up front, which if you think of it is the wrong way. I believe that's the case. You want to give somebody a present. In order to give them a present, you have to be able to give them that experience. Roaming photography is, hey, let me take your picture at the event, step and repeat, smile. And they're like, oh, awesome. How can I get this photo? Oh, I can text you a link. Great. That's where you put the barrier of entry. You don't put it before. I don't think you do it right after. You do it when they receive it. Because when they're on their phone, they're more willing to do anything. And the beauty of that is that when you're on your own device, it pre-populates almost everything you're going to ever want. Name, yes. Email address, phone number. So they don't even think about it. They just press send. So
Do you have a timeline of when you're possibly rolling out with this or?
Yeah. So photography mode. Stages. Yeah. Photography mode.
Oh, no, the data side.
Oh, so the data side, you've got 2 months on that. So yes, in 2 months. So, and let me kind of explain to you why. We're currently working with a few of our customer venues that utilize our product, and they're being very specific on what they're looking for. Because aside from being able to sell photos and collect data, obviously, you know, injecting pixels and Google, you know, analytics codes, et cetera, which we already have a lot of that. We have a built-in microsite builder, which if you haven't seen that, I'd encourage you to take a look. You know, typically on a lot of the photo booth sides, and for roamers, when you think about it, you don't really have the ability, unless you know CSS, to customize that microsite. We literally built in a Wix editor in order for you to customize the entire look and feel of the microsite. A good example of that, and I'll give props to Mike Bender over at Mobi Booth. When he was at PBX, he utilized obviously our microsite builder, and he built out a kick butt microsite. Logo at the top, customized call to action buttons. He embedded his own pixels. I think he even did some backend data capture on it. So, but it really looked great. And you can literally make that microsite look like any other, you know, website that's out there, which is beneficial or can be very beneficial, especially for your higher end clients that want that. So, yes. Sure.
So, Lap, I've got a question for you, and James, you're welcome to jump in on this as well. I'm a client and I'm looking for someone to roam around. How are you going to decide if a roaming photographer using this sort of software or a roaming photo booth is the right solution?
I can't answer because I haven't seen Curator. I mean, it sounds very exciting.
Well, I mean, besides Curator, I just mean a roaming photographer using whatever software versus a photo booth.
The benefits, I mean, a roaming photographer, you're going to get a lot more beautiful captures. You're going to be able to get those, especially if you're using like specialty lenses, wide angle lenses, or just like prime lenses, where you're able to get really beautiful. What's this? How do you pronounce it? Bokeh.
Yeah.
And just being able to like control your lighting. I mean, for like a DSLR is always going to be better than a roamer. Always. I mean,
absolutely.
In terms of the actual output. And the reason why I say it like that is because back in the day, I wasn't a big roamer fan. I wasn't a big iPad fan because of the quality. iPads, we talked about this, having a whole different experience that you're selling. But for a roaming photographer, you're able to capture beautiful photos of guests that you wouldn't be able to with the clarity that you can over a roamer. I think the whole thing of not having to push start is awesome because then you can capture a whole bunch of frames all in a few seconds, you know, that 1 second that you would normally miss for any other software that you have to push start beforehand. That's a pet peeve for me and my team, like having to push start to actually start the session. This is for both roaming and like a studio, stationary studio. We've seen this, you know, because we don't want, when you're using it as a photography station or roaming, you don't really want like the workflow of a photo booth. You don't want the countdown. You don't want people seeing the preview of themselves. That slows down the workflow. It slows down the entire experience. Because I know, you know, the software that we use for DSLR, when we were using stationary photo booths, it was showing previews. And then guests would be like, let me see it really fast. And it's not a photo booth experience. It's hard to describe why that's such a big deal for us. But we don't want it where people are doing silly poses. We want to take the time to like, you know,
professional photos.
Yes, yes. Like our team actually will frame the shot, compose the shot, pose them. You know, it's a formal session. For roaming, it's more just capturing them in the action. It's you don't want them. What you brought up of them, us collecting their information, you don't want the photographer doing that. We usually have a separate person that's managing the sharing portion. Because of that, we don't want the photographer to be distracted. We want them to be doing what they're supposed to be doing, engaging with guests, getting them to like collect all together, especially at a live event. Like if you're working like a club or really like a premiere where it's really tight knit, it's like a lot of people in a very small space. Sometimes you have like 6 inches. Yes, 6 inches from you, and small things like pushing the start button or asking them like survey questions. I totally see why you went that direction. I really want to explore Curator because it sounds like you have some really cool things built into it that I haven't seen yet.
Well, let me invite you. I'm welcome to you know, give you a personal one-on-one tour of the back end and platform. You know, it's interesting. We've been around for almost 8 years, you had asked. You had thought six, but you know, almost 8 years now. In 8 years, a lot has happened. Not for us or with us, with everybody in the industry. And I think, you know, I give credit to every application that's out there. Not only do they keep us on our toes, and we're happy about that, but, you know, I think without competition, you're not going to evolve. It's just not going to happen. So I look to it. I respect all my competitors. I do. I have great relationships with all my competitors, as I, you know, I want that because, again, there's enough business out there for all of us. And, you know, whether you're not a customer, you are a customer, you may be a customer, maybe there's something you need. You know, recently somebody posted a post on Facebook and they were like, hey, can you do X? And I was like, yep, we could do it. And they had no clue and they never even considered us. And now we're having a longer conversation like, oh my goodness, I did not know. So, you know, those conversations happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, but when I tried your software was when you first introduced it. So it must have been, I thought it was 6 years, but it must have been eight, but I haven't. And I try to explore software. So I know people always ask me like what type of software I use. We use whatever we need to use to get the delivery that we need for that specific event. And I did not know that you had the capabilities, especially like the face recognition. There's almost no competition with that right now.
There isn't.
You know, and having competition, exactly what you guys said, like it really pushes you guys to innovate, and that's beneficial to us.
Well, I'll say this, even though you say there's no competition in terms of facial recognition, there's exactly 14 applications that have that. I'm not listing them off, but I know of based on the research that I've done. Some of them are horrible, poor quality. Some of them are great. You know, and have been, they're very advanced, but I leave that on the user to go do the research. For us, it's figuring out, and I listen to, you know, like photographers. I talk to Paul Hardlick and Jamie, you know, all the people that I know or that utilize our product or and even don't, and say, hey, what is it you like about this software? What is it that you like about this experience that we can add and you add to our photography mode that would help you with your, you know, your business? And that we really try to listen to them. Same thing on the photo booth side, though. Yeah, but I have a question, and we're talking about roaming, and there's one thing that I'm realizing is people in the industry, they get into photo boothing, and then they get into photography, or at least some. I'm noticing a lot of them are not taking a lot of time to learn how to use a DSLR and understand how to actually use it, utilize it. They don't understand ISO. And we get the phone calls now. Hey, why is it blurry? Have you zoomed it? Have you, you know, it's like they don't understand it. They expect it to be an iPad. So I think roaming is great. I think everybody should definitely add it to their, you know, options. But I think everybody also needs that knowledge. And that's something that we're looking. I'm actually in conversations with one photographer on creating some personalized videos on how to be a photographer because it's not for everybody.
I don't think
an iPad has done a really good job of making it so simple for everybody that it's just a no-brainer. And not just like things like zooming or focusing, but the image stabilization and light control, like the new iPhones and iPads are just unbelievable. They're so good. And if you're using the cinema mode or whatever it's called, and the ability to like move from person to person and the camera automatically changes its focus on even at depth. If someone else is talking, that's 10 feet behind the other person, the depth will just automatically change to focus on the person that's talking. It's really, really incredible, but it's still, like you said, it's so important to know just the very basics of a DSLR because there's still a lot of things that sure the iPhone can automatically change to who's talking, but you may not want that. You know, you want that to be able to control that focus and put it exactly where you want, especially if you are, you know, creating a shallow depth and creating that bokeh feel like Lap was talking about. You want to be able to, in real time, quickly focus on whatever you want to focus on. And if you're being a roaming photographer, there's no comparison. You need to have those skills in your bag.
I think being a roaming photographer, you have to have the DSL of lighting and things like that. You have to understand that, but you also have to be pretty engaging. I think people don't realize it's a lot harder. You think a photo booth, you set it up, it's stationary, you can push start, you can engage, you cannot engage it. The guests will still have a great time. I feel like on the photographer side, there's a lot of people that you really have to kind of like vibe up. I don't know, like you have to kind of hype them up. You have to get, the, you know, come on guys, everybody get into the shot. Let's do a group shot. And those are the type of photos where people, you know, will usually remember. So I feel like personality being engaging, super engaging, like it's not for everybody. Cause it's not the same as like wedding photography where you just in the background snapping photos of the bride walking down. It's nothing like that. It's, you literally have to engage with guests. You have to chat them up. You have to get them excited. And some people will be not too friendly. Like if you ask them if they want to take a shot, no. And you have to be able to work around those type of personalities. That's one of the hardest things. I think for roaming photography is a lot harder, not just skill wise, but you have to be all around knowledgeable, engaging. So it's a lot harder. I don't think people really, it's not just connecting to a camera, connecting to an app and then moving around. Mm-hmm.
It's not
a lot of adjustments. Yeah. Me and Jason talked about this the other day about why, you know, he really doesn't do, photography studios or roaming. And, you know, it's a lot more involved. You really can't. Some people wing a photo booth, you know, even with the DSLR, some people wing it, you know, they set the lightings, they never touch it again. But with roaming, you can move from a room that's super bright daylight to pitch dark, and not knowing and understanding camera settings is it's a huge deal.
I agree. Absolutely agree with you.
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest benefit, I think, of photo boothing is you have absolute control over your lighting. So if you're using a strobe anyways, where as like you mentioned with the roaming around, it's constantly changing. Even in the same room, from one area to the other side of the room, the lighting can be drastically different. We do roaming with a, like the roamers, the roaming photo booths. I mean, you're right. You have to be way, way more engaging. Like the most engaging of our hosts are going to be the ones that are going to get those jobs, because you need to be able to approach people and encourage them to take photos. But we found, at least with roaming photo booths, once you get started, it's we almost look like a comet moving around a room with people tailing behind us because they're interested in what's going on. They see that light, they see the screen, and the engagement is everyone wants to participate once it gets started. Whereas I feel like you lose that with a roaming photography because you don't have that constant light, you don't have the screen. I know there's a lot of benefits. I think it's just, obviously it's just two different experiences, and some are right for some crowds and not right for other crowds, I guess.
I love that these apps are starting to, roaming photography with instant branding was not a huge thing for a long time. There's a lot of photographers still to this day. They may have the knowledge of photography, but they don't necessarily know how to instant brand. And that just puts us in our industry. That gives us such an advantage. Like when I sell it to my clients, I'm always talking about not just us being in the action, capturing photos of your guests, you know, on the dance floor or, you know, within your branded space. You know, a lot of clients, when they do activations, they don't just have the photo booth. They may have like a grass wall with their branding. They might have like, you know, napkins with their branding, and just having a roaming photographer, you're able to capture that and really get additional content out on like social media. And the instant branding is so amazing. Like I always talk about that side of it. Like you don't realize, when I started as a photographer, self-taught photographer, and it was difficult to find any sort of software where you can just capture and have that branding instantly applied. Like I think back in the day it was Photoshop, but it wasn't instant. So
Let's define roaming, you know, because sometimes I most recently was up in Washington, D.C., one of our customers up there, and he had I'll call them roaming because it was actually professional photography setups, literally nine of them, nine backdrops, nine photographers, nine tripods, nine DSLR cameras, nine iPhones, etc., taking pictures and sending them directly to the printer, obviously giving them to them digitally as well. I still classify that as roaming, you know, in that sense. But one of the things that I think that first I had said that, you know, people have to learn how to use a camera. But one of the things I most recently learned, and this was last week, as I was working with one of our customers that did an event up in New York, there are a ton of settings now inside of these DSLR cameras that I did not even know existed. Everything from filters, beautification, you name it. I mean, there's a lot. So don't overlook those. And I recommend, especially if you're roaming, you might want to consider, again, not maybe not to the photo, to the professional photographers out there, but for people that don't know DSLR or SLR cameras or, you know, 100%, consider learning maybe some of the automated settings, some of the automated filters, as it could help them actually take some better photos. Yeah. Sorry.
I didn't realize there are cameras with automated filters, actually. I mean, I know you've got like the, I can't remember what it's called, but like the portrait mode and the landscape mode. I'm talking about orientations, but also like in Canon cameras, they've got those as like modes. And I can't remember what else they, what black other ones white. They have.
Yeah,
like nature or something like that, where it kind of has like more vibrant colors or things like that. But I didn't know that there were actual like beauty filters or anything.
There are. Yeah, the R50, R100, R7, the one that I'm playing with right now, even the beauty filter blew me away. I mean, not that, you know, we don't have our own inside of the application, but to be able to just let the app do what it does and do everything on the device is pretty impressive. It really is. And allows you to do a lot of other things. Yeah. Pretty cool.
I wonder if people who are roaming, are they using those entry level cameras or are they using higher end full frame cameras? I mean, James, you
depends.
You...
Yeah. Oh, go.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, from your own clients, like, are you finding a lot of people using entry level cameras? You know, it's the whole concept of like, what you carry, they judge you based on like the equipment that I'm just curious if you're having a lot of people use entry level cameras or if you have them use more high end stuff.
Okay. So obviously we have the list on there in terms of what cameras they can use. Right. I would say this, okay. Cause there's always a flow to everything you do. And in every industry, photo boothing is an example of that where you had you had people come in there. Everybody started photo boothing or, you know, they bought a photo booth and everybody got their own apps and everybody started, you know, going out there and providing that type of a service. And then people started to follow. But the people that started to follow were the ones that were looking for a low barrier of entry. So those are the individuals that were looking for a job. They wanted to start their own business and they knew they could do it, but they were unsure. So then they bought a cheaper photo booth or they entered into it. You know, they got into the iPad, but they bought the cheaper iPad or they bought the cheaper photo booth, et cetera. Same thing is happening in photography. Now, when I talk to photographers, obviously I talk to the Pauls and the Jamies of the world. They're coming with their Z, you know, Nikon Z, whatever, or their Sony A, whatever, or their Canon A3s, A4, except, you know, the high end, and they're using them. But on the opposite end, people that are just coming into the industry or realize now that they now have the ability to offer another service, they're going out and they're getting an M50. I don't recommend that. I recommend at least at the minimum, you know, get up to the next level, which would be the R50, R100, et cetera. But you could R7, R10, et cetera, spend $1,000 at least on a camera or at least, you know, $700-$800. So I'm noticing the people that started off getting into the photo booth business entry level, they're now moving into entry-level photography. But I think that's going to grow as they educate themselves and as they grow their, you know, their business. One thing, though, I will say with photographers, and I can speak to the other applications out there that are roaming photography applications, they don't allow or they limit the upload size of all the files. To a photographer, that's frustrating. If I'm taking a photo and it's a, you know, let's just say 2800 by whatever it is, 4,300, et cetera, they want to be able to present that to their customers. They don't want to downsize that. They don't want to provide a S1 or S2, you know, sized image, which you can do. And that's one of the things that we're kind of setting ourselves differently. We're saying, hey, if you're a photographer and you want to take a 35 meg file, go right ahead. Be my guest. Just know it's going to take longer for it to upload. It might get, you know, it might take longer for it to process, and it's going to take longer for it to load from the device to the iPad. But that's on them at that point. Technology is going to speed up, but I'm not going to limit a photographer in being able to capture the quality that they want to. And that's kind of where we're going to put ourselves in terms of that game. So yeah,
how does that impact if they're live at the event and they need to share? So if they're capturing at full size. How does the workflow work for guests to be able to text or email? Is the image, is there like a smaller version of the image that loads onto Curator that guests are able to text and share and they have to just wait for the full size?
Yeah, that's just simply the thumbnail. I mean, the direct connection between the camera and the iPhone is fairly simple. I mean, if you're taking a 35 meg file, that's going to take maybe 15 seconds. I mean, actually, not even that, maybe 6 to 8 seconds. The time that it needs to upload is obviously going to be dependent on your internet connection. So that's no different than a photo booth gig. That 35 meg file could take anywhere from 3 seconds all the way up to a minute. But again, a minute, not that bad, you know, and I talk to a lot of photographers out there. They're willing to sacrifice that. They're willing to allow that extra time in order for it to upload, knowing that they're providing to their customer the higher quality. Now, with that said, you're able to do the image that is being sent to the customer, but that's not the image the photographer is going to get. At the end of the day, a photographer is going to want the raw image, which again, we're going to allow them to do. That's one of the aspects. Again, speaking to photographers, they want quality, a true photographer, not a roaming photographer that is in the event industry. We're talking a true photographer. They want high quality. They want large files, again, if that is what the event deems, and they want to be able to edit it after the fact, if they choose to, which again, that's where the raw comes into play.
Yeah. And I love the versatility because a lot of times in this industry, a lot of the photo booth owners, they don't need that. But like you said, the photographers do want that. So I love the versatility that you can jump between one or the other. Because like, if I can't imagine that I would, even if I started offering roaming photography, full scale, like I don't think I would be offering something that needed some kind of photo uploads like that, because we're not professional photographers, we're event photographers, we're moving around, we're snapping photos. And even though, you know, a minute really isn't that long, if you're, it's not, if you know what you're doing and you're taking photos of what you want to take photos of, but if you're taking, you know, photos of everything because you're just kind of doing the spray and pray approach, then you know you're going to have a long queue, and that 1 minute is going to turn into several minutes because all those photos are queuing up. And if you take 6 photos of the same group, making sure you have one good one, now that's a long queue. And that's probably where we would be at. So like for us, it would make sense to have a smaller file size, but you know, everyone's model is different. So that's great.
I just want to clarify. So the upload time on a full image, that takes a while to upload, but the sharing and the printing on site, that's not impacted by that.
No, because you don't need internet. Let's be clear. So again, when we now that we're in this vertical of the industry, there's a lot of photo booth tools that we offer that other applications in the photography space don't have. For example, the ability for a image to go from one device to the other without the need of an internet connection. So right now, the majority of our users are literally connecting an iPhone, click, 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 letting them upload. But on site, they'll set up 2, 3, 4, 5 sharing stations over in the corner and say, oh, you can go over to the corner. You can select your photo. You can print it. You could, you know, you could just do it directly from there. So, and you don't need internet in order for us to move one file to another, I'm sorry, one file from one iOS device to another iOS device. It's all dependent on the network. So we have what we call Live Connect. Live Connect allows you to take a picture on one device and send it to another device, whether it's running sharing station or a slideshow, and you don't need internet in order to do that. Actually, there's a video up on YouTube that one of our users recently posted about that, because that was the simplicity of it. Again, internet's always an issue. We know that. Taking a photo, passing it to a sharing station, let the sharing station deal with that. Let the photographer be the photographer. That's where we're going. Let them take pictures. Connect the two devices and share and print over there if they want to. Yeah. Go, please.
I was going to say, you were talking about photographers have the ability to edit the photos post-event. Are they able to edit the photos without the overlay and branding on there and then re-upload it, or how does that work?
So that's up to the customer. So you're actually asking a few different questions. First is, can we save the raw photo? Yes. So unprocessed photo, without a doubt. Both of those photos will be uploaded to the cloud. Each one is tagged either raw or original being or processed being the obvious, you know, the image that has the overlay on it, raw being raw. You can download all the photos or even have them go directly to Dropbox. Fairly simple. In terms of editing, we have implemented an editor on the back end of the site, but based on the photographers that we've talked to, nobody likes it. Great. we're already off to the races. We're trying to figure out other methods so that we can do post-editing, so that the post-editing can be done at their leisure. So they can actually pause delivery. We don't have that option yet, but it is possible. Pause delivery, take pictures, automatically upload, edit, and then upload. Again, there's different flows based on the conversations that we've had with photographers, everybody has different needs. Some people want immediate, some people don't. Some photographers will not send a photo to their customer unless they touch it. They need to. There's other processes too, such as like IQ that does skin touching and, you know, all these other post-processing systems that allow you to run a photo through it in order to clean it up, upscale it,
you have that integrated right now? You have that integrated now?
IQ? No, that is not integrated right now. Actually, we just had a conversation yesterday in terms of pricing. So we're negotiating pricing right now. That's where we're at. I know one of the competitors does use that. I do know that. So, yeah. And that is one conversation that we're having.
You have so much going on. I'm trying to process everything.
We are so busy. We have 16 events.
Yeah, the post-processing is a lot. I'm trying to listen to everything that you're talking about because there's so much going on the curator side. I'm here just trying to catch up. Like I have to just revisit the app, but that's really exciting. That's really exciting, James.
I just, you know, people always ask, like, you know, where do I see the industry going? Or, you know, what do I see it? Where do I see it growing? And in all honesty, I mean, photo boothing isn't going anywhere. 360s, they're not going anywhere. Do I see them growing probably as fast as they have? No. Do I see these robot arms, making a big splash? Not really. I mean, they are there. And the ones that have the great arms that cost upwards of tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, they're the ones that are going to land the big events. But do I see it on a small side? Not really. Photographers, though, tons of them out there. We can all buy a camera for under $500. You can all be classified as a roaming photographer. That's it. And really, there's a lot of ways. Photography isn't dead. Printing's not dead. I see a bigger picture out there, especially in the world of just capturing photos, capturing and deliver. Hence curating those photos.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I agree. I'm moving that direction with my company. We're pushing more for not so much roaming photography. I feel like that's so much more complex that we don't really push that much. But I do love the idea of stationary photo studios. And a lot of the new workflows are really great for that. Yeah. Not necessarily printing all the time, but I think printing always has its place, of course.
You know, people always ask me, who's my competitor? And I honestly say, I don't have a direct competitor in a sense. Yeah. Our competitor is actually Darkroom. Well, there's a lot of areas. But honestly, the one that I look at as an actual competitor is Darkroom. And I'll say it on here on the podcast. And there's a lot of reasons why. You know, they were first in the industry. It wasn't my other iPad, fellow apps that are out there. It's not the my fellow photographer applications. If we think about who has perfected the flow and who's used the more studios, more applications, it's them. And I believe their functionality has, or not functionality, but their ear has been listening to you, the photographers and the event professionals longer than I have. I've only, 8 years. It's not long. I mean, obviously, I've been in the industry for a long time. So that, I look at them and I don't believe photography is going anywhere. You know, it's not. Or photo boothing as well. Let's be clear. We're still increasing. I think everybody's still increasing in terms of business, but it's not going anywhere. It's not.
I've used Darkroom Core recently. I used Darkroom Core recently. I agree that it's really amazing for photographers. Mm-hmm. I don't see how I can use it in the workflow for roaming, though. It's not as flexible.
Correct.
On the roaming side. I think
agree.
On the stationary photography studio side, it is super powerful. I'm curious if Curator is going to be, I know we're talking about like a lot of awesome back end processing. Are you going to be doing anything like droplets? I know it's iPad based, so it's totally, we're talking about two totally different ecosystems and stuff, but is that something that's going to be possible ever with Curator, where we can run something similar to droplets?
So great question. And thank you for that, because that's something actually that's on our board, and it's discussions, because I always look at what the older softwares did, you know, the Photoshop droplets, et cetera. And one of the most recent additions to Curator was AI. And I will probably say every application probably has that now. So AI forced all of us, including me, to process post. So we have to capture a photo, take it, do something to it somewhere back here, and then deliver it. Because we have that now, and we've invested a lot of time, a lot of money in order to be able to do that, that opens up the ability to do post-processing. For example, you asked me whether or not we've integrated with IQ. The question is no, not yet. We're in conversations, like I said, but that is a post-processing effort. That is literally us taking a photo, sending it somewhere, having something happen to it, getting it back, and then delivering it to the customer. So with that being said, and with the speed of internet speeding up, almost anything's possible. I can't say that I've looked into droplets recently, but after this conversation, I probably will.
I don't know if droplets is available on iPad. I'm just curious if there's anything similar to that.
Yeah. It's not, but like you're saying, like, so again, in post-processing offsite, it could potentially be, but it's not native or locally.
Exactly.
But maybe
iPad,
like,
not so much.
Like Mac based though, probably do something there.
That's true.
Then you're,
I haven't
really
considered that. That's a
really
great point.
Rewriting the software at that point. It's not just a software that is also available on Mac. It's really a completely different software at that point. So.
Very good point.
Well, yeah. I think that probably wraps up roaming photography and branded photos. Unless there's any,
that was a lot.
Any final
so
thoughts.
So much information.
Yeah, sorry. I think leave everyone with more questions than answers, but hopefully everyone had their notepads out, and we'll give it a second listen. And as a reminder, you know, if anyone has those questions, pull out your phones, record them, send them in here, and if we have a few that pertain to a roaming photography, or James will have him back on here and have him answering some of your questions for you. Thanks, everyone,
Jason,
for joining us. Thanks, James, for coming on. As always, Lap, thanks for helping us out. And see everyone next time.
Thank you
very much.
Help to keep this free information coming. Subscribe to Pro Booth Talk in iTunes or Stitcher Radio. And while you're there, be sure to give us a 5-star rating. Finally, watch for show updates at facebook.com/ProBoothTalk.